Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was living in the Kuru country, at a town of the Kurus named Kamasadama. There he addressed the bhikkhus thus: "Bhikkhus, venerable sir," they replied. The Blessed One said this: "Bhikkhus, this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of pain and grief, for the attainment of the true way, for the realization of Nibbana, namely, the four foundations of mindfulness." What are the four? Here, bhikkhus, one abides contemplating the body as a body, ardent, fully aware, and mindful, having put away covetousness and grief for the world. They abide contemplating feelings as feelings, ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away covetousness and grief for the world. They abide contemplating mind as mind, ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away covetousness and grief for the world. They abide contemplating mind objects as mind objects, ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away covetousness and grief for the world. And how, bhikkhus, does one abide contemplating the body as a body? Here, a meditator, gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut, sits down, having folded their legs crosswise, setting their body erect and establishing mindfulness in front of them. Ever mindful, they breathe in. Mindful, they breathe out. Breathing in long, they understand. I breathe in long. Breathing out long, they understand. I breathe out long. Breathing in short, they understand. I breathe in short. Or breathing out short, they understand. I breathe out short. One trains thus. I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body of breath. One trains thus. I shall breathe out, experiencing the whole body of breath. One trains thus. I shall breathe in, tranquilizing the bodily formation. One trains thus. I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the bodily formations. In this way, one abides contemplating the body as a body internally, or one abides contemplating the body as a body externally, or one abides contemplating the body as a body both internally and externally. Or else they abide contemplating in the body its arising factors, or they abide contemplating in the body its vanishing factors, or they abide contemplating in the body both its arising and vanishing factors. Or else mindfulness that there is a body is simply established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness, and one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. This is how a meditator abides contemplating the body as a body. Again, bhikkhus, when walking, one understands, I am walking. When standing, one understands, I am standing. When sitting, one understands, I am sitting. When lying down, one understands, I am lying down. Or one understands accordingly, however their body is disposed. That too is how a meditator abides contemplating the body as a body. Again, bhikkhus, a meditator is one who acts in full awareness when going forward and returning. Who acts in full awareness when looking ahead and looking away. Who acts in full awareness when flexing and extending their limbs. Who acts in full awareness when wearing their robes and carrying their outer robe and bowl. Who acts in full awareness when eating, drinking, consuming food and tasting. Who acts in full awareness when defecating and urinating. Who acts in full awareness when walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking, and keeping silent. In this way, one abides contemplating the body as a body internally, externally, and both internally and externally. Or else they abide contemplating in the body its arising factors. Or they abide contemplating in the body its vanishing factors. Or they abide contemplating in the body both its arising and vanishing factors. Or else mindfulness that there is a body is simply established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And they abide independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That too is how a meditator abides, contemplating the body as a body. Again, bhikkhus, a meditator reviews this same body up from the soles of the feet and down from the top of the hair, bounded by skin, as full of many kinds of impurity. Thus, in this body there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, large intestines, small intestines, contents of the stomach, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, grease, spittle, snot, oil of the joints, and urine. Just as though there were a bag with an opening at both ends, full of many sorts of grain, such as hill rice, red rice, beans, peas, millet, and white rice. And a person with good eyes were to open it and review it thus. This is hill rice, this is red rice, and so on. A meditator reviews this same body as full of many kinds of impurity thus. In this body there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, and so on. That too is how a meditator abides, contemplating the body as a body. Again, bhikkhus, a meditator reviews this same body, however it is placed, however disposed, and consisting of elements thus. In this body there are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. Just as though a skilled butcher or his apprentice had killed a cow and was seated at the crossroads with it cut up into pieces, so too a meditator reviews his same body as consisting of elements thus. In this body, there are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. In this way, one abides contemplating the body as a body internally, externally, and both internally and externally. Or else they abide contemplating in the body its arising factors. Or they abide contemplating in the body its vanishing factors. Or they abide contemplating in the body both its arising and vanishing factors. Or else mindfulness that there is a body is simply established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And they abide independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That too is how a meditator abides, contemplating the body as a body. Again, bhikkhus, as though one were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground. 1, 2, or 3 days dead. Bloated, livid, and oozing matter. A meditator compares his same body with it thus. This body too is of the same nature. It will be like that. It is not exempt from that fate. That too is how a meditator abides, contemplating the body as a body. Again, as though as one were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground, being devoured by crows, hawks, vultures, dogs, jackals, or various kinds of worms. A meditator compares his same body with it thus. This body too is of the same nature. It will be like that. It is not exempt from that fate. That too is how a meditator abides, contemplating the body as a body. Again, as though one were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground, a skeleton with flesh and blood, held together with sinews, a fleshless skeleton smeared with blood, held together with sinews, a skeleton without flesh and blood, held together with sinews, disconnected bones scattered in all directions. Here a hand bone, there a foot bone. Here a shin bone, there a thigh bone. Here a hip bone, there a back bone. Here a rib bone, there a breast bone. Here an arm bone, there a shoulder bone. Here a neck bone, there a jaw bone, here a tooth, there the skull. A meditator compares his same body with it thus. This body too is of the same nature. It will be like that. It is not exempt from that fate. That too is how a meditator abides, contemplating the body as a body. Again, as though one were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground, bones bleached white, the colour of shells, bones heaped up, more than a year old. Bones rotted and crumbled to dust. A meditator compares his same body with it thus. This body too is of the same nature. It will be like that. It is not exempt from that fate. In this way, one abides contemplating the body as a body internally, externally, and both internally and externally. Or else they abide contemplating in the body its arising factors. Or they abide contemplating in the body its vanishing factors. Or they abide contemplating in the body both its arising and vanishing factors. Or else mindfulness that there is a body is simply established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And they abide independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That too is how a meditator abides contemplating the body as a body. And how, bhikkhus, does a meditator abide contemplating feelings as feelings? Here, when feeling a pleasant feeling, a meditator understands, I feel a pleasant feeling. When feeling a painful feeling, they understand, I feel a painful feeling. When feeling a neither painful nor pleasant feeling, they understand. I feel a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. When feeling a worldly pleasant feeling, they understand. I feel a worldly pleasant feeling. When feeling an unworldly pleasant feeling, when feeling a worldly painful feeling, when feeling an unworldly painful feeling, when feeling a worldly neither painful nor pleasant feeling, they understand accordingly. In this way, one abides contemplating feelings as feelings, internally. Or they abide contemplating feelings as feelings externally. Or they abide contemplating feelings as feelings both internally and externally. Or else they abide contemplating in feelings their arising factors. or they abide contemplating in feelings their vanishing factors, or they abide contemplating in feelings both their arising and vanishing factors. Or else, mindfulness that there is feeling is simply established in them to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And they abide independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That is how a meditator abides contemplating feelings as feelings. And how, bhikkhus, does a meditator abide contemplating mind as mind? Here, a meditator understands mind affected by lust as mind affected by lust, and mind unaffected by lust as mind unaffected by lust. They understand mind affected by hate as mind affected by hate. And mind unaffected by hate as mind unaffected by hate. One understands mind affected by delusion as mind affected by delusion. And mind unaffected by delusion as mind unaffected by delusion. One understands contracted mind One understands distracted mind One understands exalted mind and unexalted mind. One understands surpassed mind and unsurpassed mind. One understands concentrated mind One understands unconcentrated mind One understands liberated mind as liberated mind and unliberated mind as unliberated mind. one understands mind accordingly. In this way, one abides contemplating mind as mind internally, or one abides contemplating mind as mind externally, or one abides contemplating mind as mind both internally and externally. Or else one abides contemplating in mind its arising factors, or its vanishing factors, or both its arising and vanishing factors. Or else mindfulness that there is mind is simply established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That is how a meditator abides, contemplating mind as mind. And how, bhikkhus, does a meditator abide contemplating mind objects as mind objects? Here, a meditator abides contemplating mind objects as mind objects in terms of the five hindrances. Here, there being sensual desire in one, a meditator understands, there is sensual desire in me. Or there being no sensual desire in them, they understand, there is no sensual desire in me. And they also understand how there comes to be the arising of unrisen sensual desire. And how there comes to be the abandoning of arisen sensual desire. And how there comes to be the future non-arising of abandoned sensual desire. There being ill will in them. There being sloth and torpor in them. There being restlessness and remorse in them. There being doubt in them. a meditator understands there is ill will, there is sloth and torpor, there is restlessness and remorse, there is doubt in me. Or there being none of them, they understand. There is no ill will in me. There is no sloth and torpor. No restlessness and remorse. No doubt. And they understand how there comes to be the arising of these, and how there comes to be the abandoning of these, and how there comes to be the future non-arising of all of these hindrances. In this way, they abide contemplating mind objects as mind objects internally. Or they abide contemplating mind objects as mind objects externally. Or they abide contemplating them both internally and externally. They abide contemplating in mind objects their arising factors, their vanishing factors, their arising and vanishing factors. Or else, mindfulness that there are mind objects is simply established in them to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And they abide independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That is how a meditator abides, contemplating mind objects as mind objects, in terms of the five hindrances. Again, bhikkhus, a meditator abides contemplating mind objects as mind objects in terms of the five aggregates affected by clinging. Here a meditator understands such is material form, such its origin, such its disappearance. Such is feeling, such its origin, such its disappearance. Such is perception, such are the formations. such their origin, such their disappearance, such is consciousness, such its origin, such its disappearance. In this way, one abides contemplating mind objects as mind objects, in terms of the five aggregates affected by clinging. Again, bhikkhus, a meditator abides contemplating mind objects as mind objects in terms of the six internal and external bases. Here, a meditator understands the eye. They understand form. And they understand the fetter that arises dependent on both. And they also understand how there comes to be the arising of the unarisen fetter. And how there comes to be the abandoning of the arisen fetter. And how there comes to be the future non-arising of the abandoned fetter. One understands the ear. One understands sounds. One understands the nose, the odors, the tongue, the flavors. One understands the body. One understands tangibles. One understands the mind, the mind objects, and one understands the fetter that arises dependent on both. And one also understands how there comes to be the arising of the unarisen fetter, and how there comes to be the abandoning of the arisen fetter, and how there comes to be the future non-arising of the abandoned fetter. In this way, one abides contemplating mind objects as mind objects in terms of the six internal and external bases. Again, bhikkhus, a meditator abides contemplating mind objects as mind objects in terms of the seven enlightenment factors. Here, there being the mindfulness enlightenment factor in them, a meditator understands there is the mindfulness enlightenment factor in me. Or there being no mindfulness enlightenment factor in them, they understand there is no mindfulness enlightenment factor in me. And they also understand how there comes to be the arising of this factor, and how the arisen factor comes to the fulfillment by development. There being the investigation of states, enlightenment factor in them. The energy enlightenment factor. The rapture enlightenment factor. The tranquility enlightenment factor. The concentration enlightenment factor. And the equanimity enlightenment factor. A meditator understands there is this particular enlightenment factor in me. Or there being none of this particular enlightenment factor in them, they understand there is none of this particular enlightenment factor in me. They also understand how there comes to be the arising of this particular factor. And how the arisen enlightenment factor comes to fulfillment by development. In this way, they abide contemplating mind objects as mind objects in terms of the seven enlightenment factors. Again, bhikkhus, a meditator abides contemplating mind objects as mind objects in terms of the Four Noble Truths. Here, a meditator understands as it actually is. This is suffering. one understands as it actually is. This is the origin of suffering. One understands as it actually is. This is the cessation of suffering. One understands as it actually is. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. That is how a meditator abides, contemplating mind objects as mind objects, in terms of the Four Noble Truths. Because if anyone should develop these four foundations of mindfulness, in such a way for 7 years, one of two fruits could be expected for them, either final knowledge here and now, or if there is a trace of clinging left, non-return. Let alone 7 years, bhikkhus. If anyone should develop these four foundations of mindfulness in such a way for 6 years, for 5 years, for 4 years, for 3 years, for 2 years, for 1 year, one of two fruits could be expected for them, either final knowledge here and now, or if there is a trace of clinging left, non-return. Let alone 1 year, bhikkhus. If anyone should develop these four foundations of mindfulness in such a way for 7 months, for 6 months, for five, for four, for three, for two, for 1 month, for half a month, one of two fruits could be expected for them, either final knowledge here and now, or if there is a trace of clinging left, non-return. Let alone half a month, bhikkhus. If anyone should develop these four foundations of mindfulness in such a way for 7 days, one of two fruits could be expected for them, either final knowledge here and now, or if there is a trace of clinging left, non-return. So it was with reference to this that it was said, because this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of pain and grief, for the attainment of the true way, for the realization of Nibbana. Namely, the four foundations of mindfulness. This is what the Blessed One said. The bhikkhus were satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words.